This is the seventh shiur in a series of seven shiurim chronicling the seven nevuos of our redemption towards the end of Sefer Yeshaya. This is the tail end of Sefer Yeshaya. It's the Haftarah for Parshas Nitzavim, the Haftarah which appears in the Svarim, in the Chumashim for the end of Vayelech, is Shabbos Tshuva, Shuv Yisrael Hashem Elokecha from Hosea. This is the end of Yeshaya. This is already Perek Samach Aleph, and a little bit of Samach Gimel. Just as a reference point, the series of seven began with, of course, Nachamu, Nachamu Ami, Omar Elokechem. This is in Perek Mem. So it's about 20 Perekim we've covered. Not always sequential. It hasn't been sequential. We've been flipping back and forth. But this is the last of the seven before Shabbos Tshuva. This year, of course, Shabbos Tshuva is a little bit distanced from Parshas Nitzavim because Rosh Hashanah is Shabbos, so there's a Shabbos in the middle that isn't Shabbos Tshuva. It's the first day of Rosh Hashanah. But this is, again, Perek Samach Aleph. It's known, colloquially, it's known as Sos Asis Bashem Tagel Nafshi Be'elokai Ki Hilbishari Big Day Esha. And the first pasuk really contains the theme and the characteristic difference of this Haftarah versus or alongside other Haftarahs. And Chazal and the Medrash expanded on this or explicated it. There are so many nevuos and so many reasons for the Jewish people to be happy. The return of her people, the return of her glory, the return of the Beis HaMikdash, the return of her riches, her wealth, her international fame, her international renown and regard. But the end, the conclusion of Yeshaya's nevuos, Asos Asis Bahashem, Tegel Nafshi Be'elokai. What we're really yearning for is not just restoration, resettlement, and rebuilding, and reputational rehabilitation, but to be with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Chazal, I'm just pulling out a medrash. It's a very famous medrash. I'll just try to read the medrash. This is Chazal's way of capturing what's latent in the psukim, and I'll try to draw them from the psukim. I'll just read the medrash here. Where is it here? Sosasis Bashem. Just like we're not sure when David HaMelech says Zehayom Asashem Nagilav Nitzmachavo, are we happy with the yom, with the day, with the events, with the miracles, with the events, or are we happy with Hashem? Zehayom Asashem Nagilav Nitzmachavo. So David HaMelech concludes very famous pasuk in Hallel Nagilav Nitzmachavo. We're really interested in not the yom, but Nagilav Nitzmachavo. The same thing here. There's so many reasons that Yeshaya has iterated for the Jewish people to be happy. But it's the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And as a way of highlighting the relationship, there are two words that appear here very uniquely. And those, of course, are the words Kala. This sounds a lot like Shir HaShirim, where we're always referred to as HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Kala, in fact, six times. Here, in this section, namely Perek Samach Aleph, we're referred to as HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Kala twice. Kechasan Yechahin Pe'er, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will dress us glory like a chasan v'kikala and like a bride ta'adek yileha. Hashem will provide jewels. So that's one. And of course, the famous line, and my son's getting married this week, so it's a line that I'm thinking about, is the line on which Lechadodi is based. Umisos chasan al kala, just like a groom is happy and celebrates with his wife, Yasis alayich elokoyach HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be happy for you and with you. So there's an intimacy, there's a relationship. It's not just Hashem restoring, forgiving. If you remember, just to contrast the last Haftarah with the first Haftarah there was none of this. There was a lot of forgiving, and even the forgetting was passive. Now we're at the stage in the Gula, the final stage, not just chronologically, but the ultimate, the ideal goal, is our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why the word Kala appears twice. That's why there's a lot of marriage imageries. The land will be called Be'ula, namely Hashem's, the land will have her husband, will be married to HaKadosh Baruch Hu about, again, Li'artzech Be'ula, will be called Be'ula. I'll talk about this a little bit later. And even when our children return, it's almost a preliminary marriage to the ultimate marriage. Ki Yival Bachor Besula, like when a young man takes a Besula, Yivaluch Banayich, your children will marry you, your children will come back, but the real Chasan V'Kala will be HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Besas Chasan Al-Kala, Yesis Aleich Elokayich. So this section is flooded, literally flooded, with imagery of bride and groom. This is probably the part of Yeshaya that's closest to Shir HaShirim. Another characteristic feature, a lot of nicknames. Whenever HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls us extra nicknames, it's a sign of love, it's a sign of affection. Zman Rosh Hashanah, there's so many nicknames. Haben Yakir Li Ephraim, Yelad Shashuim, Yeshurun, Yakir, Ephraim. So Kadosh Baruch Hu is not just referring to us with nicknames, but he's changing the nicknames to cover the embarrassment or the shame of our past. There's a lot of shame that we're worried about. Hashem says, I'm going to call you new names. V'karalach Shem Chadash, Arsha Pi Hashem Yikavenu. So Hashem is going to actually generate the nicknames. Pi Hashem Yikavenu. What are these nicknames? Well, one of them is not a name, but just a general reference point. We won't be Azuva. We won't be abandoned or forsaken. We won't be destroyed. So the old names of abandoned and the old names of forsaken will be replaced by Cheftziba. It's a very popular name in Israel today. Not so much in Chutz Laaretz. People call Cheftziba. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will want you again. Ki Chafetz Hashem Bach. And your land will be called Bi'ula. So these are new names that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will deliver. Cheftziba and Bi'ula. And it's not just that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will provide new names, but now the end of Perek Samach Beis, which is the next parak. This is a haftarah which spans three prakim. V'karu lehem Am HaKodesh. It will be called Am HaKodesh. Geulei Hashem. V'lachi karei Drusha. Ir lo ne'azava. So these aren't necessarily nicknames that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will provide. Well, it's the simple reading is other people will call. After the Geulei V'karu lehem, they will be called Am HaKodesh. Geulei Hashem. V'lachi karei Drusha. So three new names. Am HaKodesh. The holy nation, Geulei Hashem, those who are redeemed by Hashem, Drusha, a desired, coveted, something that people pay attention to, as opposed to some nation which is abandoned. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is either himself calling us nicknames of love or renaming us in the eyes of the nations, but either way HaKadosh Baruch Hu is providing all this new naming, as if we're his new child, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is renaming us. So, Sos Asis BaHashem, a lot of Chasan Kala imagery. A lot of new naming. And finally, to capture the intimacy, it's not clear who's talking all the time. In some of the other nevuos, it was clear the Navi is talking, Hashem is talking, Am Yisrael is talking. Here, there's a lot of fragmented and splintered conversation. It's not clear exactly who's talking to whom. There are a lot of shifts. I'll try to highlight some of them. But this is also reminiscent of Shir HaShirim, where there's a lot of quick conversation. Instead of announcements and soliloquies and monologues, first the Navi speaks, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks, then the Jewish people speak. You've had a lot of quick hits, quick conversation. It's much more intimate as if you'd be sitting with your wife or someone you're close to and you're having a conversation. So this is more conversationalist rather than monologues. So the beginning is not clear who's saying, Sos Asis Bashem. Is it Am Yisrael? Is it personification of Yerushalayim? But it's clearly not Hashem speaking. And then all of a sudden, Leman Tzion Lo Hasheh, this is Pasuk Aleph of Perek Samach Beis, I won't rest on behalf of Yerushalayim, and I won't desist until I'll prove her righteousness to the other nation. Very famous line, Leman Tzion Lo Hasheh. Is that the Navi speaking? Is that a Kadosh Baruch Hu speaking? It sounds as if it could be the Navi, because he's referring to the fact that Hashem will give them a new name, but very quickly, it's clear that Hashem is speaking in the middle. This could be the Navi speaking after Am Yisrael speaks, but then Hashem speaks, Al Chomosayich Yerushalayim Yifkadeti Sharmim Kol Yom Kol Halayla. I'm going to appoint protectors, guards, watchmen. We'll talk about the watchmen a little bit later. They won't sleep, they won't rest until they provide the glory of the Jewish people in the land. Very famous Pasuk. And then Hashem takes a Shavua, whether it's the Navi describing Hashem take a Shavua or Hashem actually taking a Shavua. Either way, it's Hashem's voice, Nishba Hashem Bimino Zrahuzo. Another famous Pasuk, Hashem takes a Shavua, that it will never abandon you again and deliver your food to your enemies, but you'll eat your food. And then a little bit later, there's a very bellicose image of Hashem, as it were, anthropomorphically coming from his destruction of Edom with his clothing red of blood and red of their strength, and he had defeated them. And someone's asking Hashem, Mizeh Bami Edom, Chamutz Begadim, either the Navi or Am Yisrael, it's not clear, but again, it's a conversation. And Hashem answers, this is where I'm coming, this is why I'm all red and with blood. So there's interrogation in the aggressive sense, but there's interrogative, there's questioning, there's interaction of voices. Those of you who have known and read Shir HaShirim, this is very, very characteristic of Shir HaShirim, where there's conversation rather than Hashem announcing what he's going to do, Am Yisrael announcing what they're waiting for, the Navi announcing what will happen. So the whole tone here, A, the imagery of Chasan Kala. B, Sos Asis BaHashem. C, the nicknames and the new names centered around Hefziba, and D, quick interactive conversation provides a level of intimacy which is appropriate at the end of all the nevuos of Geula. The ultimate Geula is about returning to that and rebuilding our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One other section to highlight, and then I'll just highlight some of the famous psukim, and certainly HaChazal saw this psukim, because it's important to view these sections in meta-analysis and understand their overall themes, but also not to ignore the fact there's so many resonant and familiar and powerful psukim. But there's a section which, as I said, very belligerent, very bloody, very bellicose. Who's coming from Edom? So it's clear the play on words. There's a lot of red here, but Edom is known for being red. He said it was red. Chamutz begadim, and his clothing are full in Batzra. Batzra is associated with Rome. And Hashem answers, Ani medaber bitztaka rav l'hoshia. Well, I'm speaking out of charity, and I've saved the Jewish people. We ask, well, why are you so red? Hashem says, I alone destroyed Edom. So this, of course, is an apocalyptic image of a destruction of Edom towards the end of Jewish history. This is very resonant for many of the medieval commentators suffering under the terrible persecution of Western civilization, which is an outgrowth of Christendom, which is an outgrowth of the Roman Empire. There's a very famous Medrash, actually, which sees it as a penultimate, that the destruction of Edom is not necessarily directly by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as this, obviously everything is directly by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but won't be supernatural, but will be actually an invasion of Arabs, and that there'll be some major, major conflagration or major war which will take place in Rome, and from the embers or from the debris of that war, Mashiach will arise. But this is certainly a very, very bloody, graphic, belligerent or bellicose nevuah that is clearly referring to some of the difficult wars that will occur towards the end of time, again, depending on which messianic scenario unfolds. But again, aside from the actual description, the way that it's described is not the Navi describing this will happen, that will happen. There's a conversation. We, presumably, witness Hashem arriving from Edom, and Hashem describes how he destroyed Edom. And it sounds like not because you deserve them to be destroyed, not because, but because of righteousness, justice, and the way they persecuted you, and my anger at the way they treated you, which again, may be even a greater act of love, not because you deserve it, but I care for you so much, even when you don't deserve it, your enemies are my enemies, and I protect you and destroy them. Okay, so these are the two major themes of the section, a level of intimacy that was missing in Perek Mem, Nachamu, Nachamu Ami. Here, Sos Asis Bashem, just to compare and contrast. And again, just remember how often we've seen the double language, Uri, Uri, Nachamu, Nachamu, Sos Asis, Anochi, Anochi. So there's a lot of double language. Double language itself suggests intimacy and love and compassion. What about some of the famous psukim? So I'll just mention three or four of them. One of them is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the end of this section, describes Yom Nakam Bilibi. There is a day of vengeance. There is a day of reckoning in my heart. Ushnas Geulai Ba. Chazal sense that it's in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's heart, which means he hasn't described it. He hasn't disclosed it. It's hidden. This is one of the psukim which reinforce the fact that the end of days, the timeline, the narrative, the trajectory is concealed. It's mysterious. It's unknown. Yom Nakam Libi Libi Lepuma Logalia. Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't even reveal its kivayachal to his mouth. He didn't speak to anyone. And this, of course, stacks up with the scene of Yaakov's deathbed, where he wanted to describe the messianic conclusion with clarity, and Kadosh Baruch Hu prevent him. And of course, Daniel, after the destruction of the first Beis Hamikdash. So that's one famous pasuk. Another famous pasuk. Kadosh Baruch Hu describes the period of the Gullus. Bechol Tsarosam lo tsar. Now the word lo could be read in all of their sadness and their suffering. Lo tsar, I didn't completely annihilate them, so I was there for them, and it's a reassurance that as bad as it was never as bad as it could get. I was always protecting them. But even though it's spelt lamed aleph lo tsar, there was no complete annihilation. The way it's read is lamed vav tsar, lo tsar. The Gemara darshins that when Am Yisrael suffers, HaKadosh Baruch Hu suffers as well. B'chol tzarosam lo tzar. And this is a pasuk that signals the very, very important and powerful concept of Shechinta Begalusa. That when we are in Galus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shechin is in Galus, Imo Anochi B'tzara, or as HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised Yaakov Avinu in Beersheba in Parshas Vayigash, Anochi Ered Imcha Mitzrayim of Anochi El Chagamalah. That's typically seen as the origin of the fact that Kadosh Baruch Hu suffers in Galus and travels with us to Galus, and it's also relevant for Parshas Nitzavim, because in Parshas Nitzavim, where the return from a Galus is described, the Torah writes Veshav Hashem Elokecha Shavuscha rather than Veheshiv. Instead of Hashem returning our scattered people, Hashem himself will return. Veshav Hashem Elokecha Shavuscha. So another important pasuk. Of course, the well-known song, Alcha Mosayich Yerushalayim, Hifkadati Shamrim Kalayam V'Kalalayla, which is sung in Eretz Yisrael about soldiers. When soldiers go off to battle, we talk about them protecting Yerushalayim. But there's something about this pasuk that suggests that it's not just soldiers, because the soldiers are not just protecting Kalayam V'Kalalayla. Tamid Lo Yechashu. They don't rest. Hamas Kirimes Hashem. They mention Hashem al dami lechem. They're not quiet. And they're not quiet until HaKadosh Baruch Hu returns Yerushalayim to its former glory. Why would this be the job of soldiers? Soldiers carry guns. Soldiers protect Yerushalayim. Soldiers are military. Why would they be speaking and why would they be persisting until Yerushalayim is restored? So because of this, Chazal assume that there are, in addition to the soldier imagery, there are three other soldiers this could be referring to. Supernatural protectors, malachim, that are also davening on behalf of Yerushalayim and complaining, as it were, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why Yerushalayim is desolate. It could be just general people who are mispalel, in which case it won't just be soldiers, but be the people who get up and daven for Yerushalayim and its sadness. In particular, people who daven Tikkun Chatzos and who are constantly bemoaning and wailing the fallen fate of Yerushalayim. So it could be those protectors of Yerushalayim, or it could be the Nevi'im, who are constantly reminding the Jewish people, as they once did, of this need for tshuva, and the need to repent, and the need to improve, and they are returning the Jewish people to Yerushalayim by improving their moral behavior. So the Shomrim, which is again such a potent and fertile image of Shir HaShirim, the Shomrim of Yerushalayim, the Shomrim here of Yerushalayim, aren't only the soldiers, as in modern Israel, as we so often sing this song in a context of soldiers going to battle, but it's people that do or battle on behalf of Yerushalayim morally, battle on behalf of Yerushalayim with their prayers. It's a different type of battlefield. Finally, pasuk that's very relevant to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, Ivru Ivru Basharim, circulate amongst the gateways, Panu Derech, prepare the way, Selu Selah Hamasima, pave the road, Saklu Mi'evan, remove the stones, Harimu Ne Selahamim, and put up signposts for people to return. So again, this is simply a vision of Kibbutz Galios, and we should not just wait for Kibbutz Galios, but initiate, not just initiate it, but ease the return. I know my brother-in-law is a Beifas from Nefesh B'Nefesh, so there's a pasuk that resonates very deeply within me, the desire and the work that he's put in to facilitate the return of Jews, particularly from Western countries. So there's an image of preparing the roads for us to return. Every time I travel in Israel along roads, I think about there's a lot of building of infrastructure in Israel now, a lot of building of roads, so build roads for people to travel. And of course, Chazal interpret the word Evan as a reference to an Avodah Zarah. Yetzirah. Yetzirah sometimes is compared to Evan. It's heavy, it's inert, it's not sometimes our desires that get the best of us, but just our heaviness and our laziness and our inertia, our mental heaviness, our mental laziness. So removing the stones is removing moral stones. And Hashem promises us that if we remove the stones, then He'll provide, not just He'll remove in the end of days our heart of stone and replace it with a heart of flesh and this feeling and sensitive heart, as the Psukim in Yechezkel describe. So this is the final seventh chapter of redemption. Samach Aleph, few Psukim in Samach Aleph. Okay, Samach Aleph, basically two Psukim, three Psukim, two Psukim, Samach Beis, and about, how many Psukim? About 10 psukim, 9 psukim of Samach Gimel. This concludes the series of 7 studies in redemption, or 7 lessons of redemption.